Hey, Rhino, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going In Raw. Larson, this is the worst Going In Raw ever because Seth Rollins got hurt.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
This is a huge, huge, huge bummer. As everybody knows, we're huge, huge, huge Seth Rollins fans. Mm-hmm. And so to see him go down in a house show to Kane in such a gruesome manner.
Yeah, that knee did not look like it was supposed to bend that way.
It's kind of annoying. Like, you just can't avoid. I personally, there was a college football player recently who apparently had a really bad knee injury. I didn't look at the Le'Veon Bell one. It's difficult to stay away from it because of Twitter.
Yeah, everybody posts vines of gruesome injuries every Sunday, it seems like. Anytime someone in an NFL game gets hurt, shortly thereafter, a vine is posted of said injury, and usually it's something that after you watch it, you regret instantly.
When I was looking up Le'Veon Bell, because obviously he's been the focal point of a contentious negotiation between you and I over in Friendo Fantasy Football, mm-hmm. when I was looking him up to see, like, you know, what the prognosis was, there were a bunch of vines, and luckily I didn't see any of them, so I have not bore witness to Le'Veon Bell's injury. Also with some college player, I guess, recently who had a pretty bad injury. There was a soccer player also. Rollins, I tried my best, but somebody posted like a still shot, which is hard to get away from.
Yeah.
And you just see how the knee is buckling inward, and it's pretty gruesome.
No, I watched a video of it, like facing Rollins and Kane as they're doing that spot in the corner of the ring. Mm-hmm. And you see him land and his knee buckle in, and you just know that's bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Apparently he finished the match, and by the end of it, apparently it makes me wonder, like, it makes me wonder how much additional damage is done finishing the match.
Yeah, that's a good question, because without the stability in your knee from those two ligaments, it just puts extra stress on the handful of them that are still left in there. Because the ACL is the one down the middle of the knee, and then the medial is, I can't remember which one. It's one on either side. I don't know if it's the inside part of the knee or the outside part of the knee, but
right.
It's, you know, on the outside of it. So, I don't know.
Because apparently, he finished off with a pedigree.
Yeah.
And you land on your knees.
Right on that knee. Oh, he also tore his meniscus. And from what I understand, that unto itself is extremely painful.
Yeah. Well, he said, I read an interview with him. He said there wasn't a lot of pain. He said because there's...
no nerve endings in the ligaments.
He didn't feel it. Right.
Or as of now, there wasn't a whole lot of pain. I imagine when it happened, it probably hurt like...
That's the thing. He even said he was like, he said all it felt was, he said he didn't feel any pain.
Hmm.
He just felt like there was, like it was, he thought he had dislocated, I guess, which I didn't realize you could dislocate a knee.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that before.
But he said he thought he just did that. He said he obviously he couldn't put any weight. He realized he couldn't put any weight on it. But he was like, it just felt really, really loose in there.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he didn't feel any pain, and so he didn't necessarily worry about finishing the match.
Wow.
So that's pretty.
You never saw when Baron Davis dislocated his knee during a game?
I did. Yeah. Okay.
Or Sean Livingston did that too. He dislocated his kneecap. I think.
That was just a dislocation. Okay, that was nasty looking. It just looked like a bag of marbles.
Mm-hmm.
That looks ugly. Anyway, so it's a big, big bummer. I mean, it sucks for him. It sucks for us. It sucks for everybody because he's really been, I mean, you know, he's the best, in my book, he's the best performer on the roster.
Easily.
And so it looks like he's going to be out 6 to 9 months. That takes him all the way through, like, what, SummerSlam?
I mean, I guess if he's going to come back at any point, that's a good time to make his return.
Right. He'll get a huge pop when he does return.
Yeah, I imagine something along the lines of when Triple H came back from tearing his quad the first time.
And I think it'll even be bigger than that. I mean, I really do. Like, I mean, Triple H, for as big of a heel as he was never the kind of heel that you were like, you know what, I hate this guy, but I love to see him perform in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Because he always put on really good, psychologically speaking, matches.
Yeah.
But it was never like with Rollins, I just want to see him perform.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he can do the psychology thing, but also, like, you know, he's just a fantastic athlete, and he does really cool moves.
And I'm kind of curious now after, because a lot of the stuff he does is, you know, there's a lot of flips off people and reversing the flips. You know, that's obviously taken its toll and was the cause of his current injury. And I wonder if he's going to adapt his style at all to alleviate the pressure on his knees, because he can't keep doing that for 10, 15 years.
And that's one thing he said. He said, you know, they asked, you know, was this a fluke? Did the doctor say, was this a fluke injury? He said, not really. He said, this is something that was, he said, it's kind of flukish because I landed oddly on my foot.
Mm-hmm.
But he said it's basically because of all the wear and tear. He said the way I go about in the ring.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question, I can't see how he can't. If he wants to last another 10, 15 years,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how he can keep on going the way he goes.
Yeah.
So, which is fine. He's the kind of guy who seems to be creative enough that he can adapt and still be really interesting in the ring.
Absolutely.
That, of course, obviously, he's the world heavyweight champion.
Well, he was.
He's been stripped of the title, and now it was announced at Survivor Series there will be a world heavyweight championship tournament.
It's like 1998 all over again.
All over again. And that's exciting.
Yeah.
Because that was our favorite, one of our favorite pay-per-views of all time.
That's my favorite pay-per-view ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine is, of course, Starrcade 1985. So that begs the question. Now there's sort of leaks coming out saying that Roman Reigns was set to beat Rollins at Survivor Series for the belt.
Yeah.
However, that may change given that they needed who knows if this is true or not. This is reports probably coming from, like, I don't know, Bill Apter or somebody like that, saying that they needed the heel aspect to get Roman to sort of legitimize Reigns winning the belt. Now, if he wins a tournament, there's speculation. It might just seem like they're giving it to him.
Yeah.
Especially if he wins over somebody like, okay. So let's kind of go backwards here.
Yeah.
Who could, let's say, number one, who do you think they're going to give it to?
Probably Reigns.
I'm going to say Reigns, but let's work backwards. Let's say they give it to Reigns. Who can he beat that won't cause the crowd to turn on him?
Sheamus.
Would enough people be interested in a Sheamus Reigns main event?
Oh, absolutely not.
To give a shit. I still feel, again, shades of 98.
Oh, if they turn Reigns heel at the end of it, a la his cousin?
If it was Ambrose
in 98.
Reigns.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. And have Reigns turn heel just like The Rock did in 98.
That'd be great.
That would be great.
That'd be fantastic. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
Who do we think are going to be? You have a whole list here in the notes.
Yeah, I'm assuming that they'll have an 8-man tournament at Survivor Series. So there'll be, 7 matches associated with the tournament?
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing the Wyatt family Undertaker and Kane match is still going to happen.
Right.
And then there'll be a tag title match, I'm guessing, between the New Day and the Usos.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Divas. So that's 10 matches on the card. That's a full card.
That is a full card, yeah.
So I thought, let's speculate.
Okay.
Let's fill out this bracket and see who's going to advance and who ultimately will win.
Okay.
So I have a list here of probable participants.
Yeah.
And possible participants, and the probable ones are all, you know, guys who are active now on the main roster. Possible are part-timers and people currently on the sidelines.
Okay, so probable, we have Reigns, Ambrose.
Those two are shoo-ins.
Ziggler.
Yeah.
Owen's a shoo-in.
Yeah.
Del Rio.
He's a shoo-in.
I think he's a shoo-in. Cesaro, I think, at this point is a shoo-in. Unless he has like a match against Stardust in the opening show, like the pre-show.
Yeah.
That would suck.
Yeah, it would.
Sheamus, I guess, is a shoo-in.
But I don't know. I wouldn't be.
He's tagging up with Barrett.
See, I would be surprised if, because they're having, it sounds like, qualifying matches on Raw and SmackDown this week. I assume to get into the tournament, and I wouldn't be surprised if he lost that and just to have the specter of a cash-in.
Yeah, okay.
Or if he's even in the tournament, he loses in the first round.
Rusev is going to lose in the qualifiers.
Yeah, as will Neville probably and Ryback.
I could see Neville going in as an underdog jobber.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. Ryback, I could see, again, Ryback going in as an underdog jobber.
But I put together this list of the probable participants, I looked at this and I was like, there's not a whole lot of people that are going to draw eyeballs to this show based on those guys. So I started thinking about
right now.
Other people, you know, because with Orton hurt, with Cena out, with Daniel Bryan hurt, there's definitely, or Rollins hurt now, there's definitely a lack of star power.
Yeah.
So possible participants. These are just long shots.
Yeah.
Cena, have him come back.
I think Cena is maybe, like, of all this list, let's go, you have Cena, yeah. Taker.
Lesnar.
Lesnar.
The Rock.
Rock.
Triple H.
Uh-huh.
Sting.
Uh-huh.
Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel Bryan.
I think Cena's the most likely to happen in terms of coming back. I don't believe, though, I don't think they're going to put the belt on him. A lot of people are saying, no, they're going to go safe. They're going to go safe. I think if it's anything, it would be Reigns. I would love to see a curveball of some sort.
Yeah, me too. That's just why not Sheamus. It would be interesting if, and I don't know if The Undertaker could handle a full night of wrestling, to have him in the match with the Wyatts, give him one last run.
That'd be great.
He debuted 25 years ago at this show.
Yeah.
You know, give him one last run with the belt. Have him have the belt, I don't know, till the Royal Rumble or something. He can lose it then.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a consolation to give him after his going to hell with Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. But just, you know, apart from The Rock and Daniel Bryan, who would get, the Taker would get the biggest pop for winning the belt at the end of the night?
Yeah.
More than anybody else on this list.
I agree.
Except maybe Sting. Sting would get a pretty big pop if you were to win. But
he'd get a pretty big pop. I don't want to see Sting in the ring, though. That would just. You know, I could see Jericho coming back. Yeah. I could see Jericho coming back and jobbing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He'd be a high quality jobber, right?
Yeah.
There.
Someone could beat him in the semifinals, and it would be a good win.
I could see. I think Owens and I think it's going to come down to. I want to say
they have 2 weeks to build up storylines for this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to say there's some combination of Reigns. When I look at this, I see a combination of Reigns, Ambrose, and Owens as being the somehow in like the final. Like I see Reigns being in the main event, and I see either Ambrose or Owens. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know what, looking at it now, if they want to keep Reigns' face, which I think they probably do.
Yeah.
You make it Reigns versus Owens in the main event. Reigns goes over because Owens can put on a really, really good match with anybody.
Mm-hmm. He can make pretty much anybody look good, too.
Exactly. Owens is a legit heel. Now he's our top heel, right?
Either him or Wyatt.
Yeah, Wyatt's sort of on his own kick. Like, in terms of the main storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Wyatt's always a B-side guy. Like, sometimes the B-side is better than the A-side, but I'm just saying he's a B-side guy.
Yeah.
Owens is, as like, he's... I mean, I could see Owens... Who's going to, let me ask this, who do you think is going to take, I think the bigger question is, who's going to take Rollins' place in the Authority as their franchise player? That's got to be Owens, right?
That would be great if it were.
That'd be fantastic. He'd get a mega push.
I'm just trying to think of who would make the most sense in terms of
story. Left this out of the probable participants. Finn Balor.
Oh, just because he's rumored to be at Raw tonight?
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying that he's supposed to be coming up anytime soon.
You know how I feel about that.
I think it's great.
Mm-mm.
Shows up in his leather jacket.
He comes out and goes, hey.
He goes, hey.
Fonz Balor.
And then Alex Riley's music, or Alex Wright's music, kicks in. Oh man. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the rest of them. I don't know if I could.
Well, here, this is pure speculation. Let's fill this in. Who would be of all the people listed? We'll put Balor on there and possible participants.
Nice.
Who going into this tournament is the one seed?
One seed meaning the best?
Yeah.
Roman Reigns.
Okay, I agree with that. I'll write that down.
Not in my heart. In my heart, it's Ambrose.
No, I understand that.
In my heart, it's Ambrose and Owens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, number two seed.
I'd say Owens.
I guess I'll agree with that.
It's hard to argue with that.
Because, you know, in the first round, it'd be 1-8, 2-7, 3-6.
Because in my mind,
five.
You just have to look at the battle royal they did for the number one contendership.
Yeah.
And it was so I would say 3 would be Ambrose.
See, I'd say 3 would be Del Rio.
Oh, I don't know.
Because let's think about not only in terms of seeds, in terms of strength, but in terms of how the matches will play out. Because, like, you know, the first round will be Reigns as the one seed against whoever the eighth seed is.
Yeah,
so let's say the eighth seed is, I don't know.
Chump status. Like, Rusev's
Ryback.
Not going to be in it. It'd be...
Let's say Ryback, for example.
Yeah, okay, there you go, Ryback.
So it'll be Reigns, Ryback, which I don't know that's how you want to start Reigns out, though, because Ryback's not exactly a ring technician in his own right.
I feel like this is the very like this is the first minute of like a 30-minute filling out this bracket situation.
I know. So it'd be like if you did Reigns Cesaro could put on a good match with anybody.
Yeah, that's true. What they need. They need somebody to put on a good match with anybody.
So Cesaro Reigns would be a good draw for Reigns' first round because he looks strong beating Cesaro because people love Cesaro.
Yeah,
and Cesaro can put on a good match.
He can. So I'll go with that. I'll go with Cesaro.
All right. I have a feeling that we're going to agree across the board on this bracket.
Okay, so then who does Owens fight? Owens would take on.
Owens Ryback is
okay. There you go.
There's a built-in rivalry. There's a built-in story. They don't have to do anything about that.
So I like that.
We'll put Ryback as a 7 seed. So 3-6.
Sheamus Neville.
No.
No.
No. So I think like Ambrose would be a 4.
Okay.
But then that'd be Ambrose. See, that's why I feel like Del Rio needs to be the 3.
Del Rio's not. Take Del Rio off my 3. You just put him on my 3.
Okay. Sorry.
Del Rio's a 6 in my book.
But we got to think about this in terms of how the matches will play out. That's
so confused by that angle.
And Ambrose can't be a... See, if you put Ambrose at 4 and 5, though, that means Reigns Ambrose would be in the second round, which can't be.
It's just a mess. Okay, I'll do this. This is mine, all right?
Okay.
Reigns 1, Owens 2, Del Rio 3, Ambrose and Jericho 4 and 5.
Oh, there's a storyline there, at least. Jericho, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then who's your 6 seed?
Let's see. Dolph? 6 would have to fight Del Rio. Dolph. There you go. Dolph. Dolph has to be in there.
And Tyler Breeze will screw him out of his win.
There you go. So he'll lose to Del Rio. Ambrose would move on against Jericho. The 4 seed fights the... Let's see. 1 seed takes on the 4. So that would actually set up Reigns versus Ambrose, I think, right?
Yeah, which I don't think is going to be a second round matchup. If that's going to happen, it's going to be the finals. And then it would be 2 seed would fight the winner of the 3-6 matchups. That'd be Del Rio. So that'd be Owens, Del Rio.
After the show, be sure to go to lootcrate.com/Steven Larson. Enter the promo code Friendo. You can get 10% subscription discount. While we're doing this.
And then you're saying for the finals, it's going to be Reigns Owens, right?
Yes. Okay. That's my prediction.
Well, I'm going to... Hold on.
You're just going to copy mine.
No.
No, you want to, though. the order by the 19th. And you get the combat crate. Items from Blizzard. Fallout 4, Hunger Games.
I'm just reorganizing it, so my final will be Reigns Ambrose. That's it. That's the only difference. And this is all assuming the probable participants or the possible participants don't take place. Like, we don't get Cena or The Undertaker or Triple H or Daniel Bryan or something like that. Because if they want to make a splash, clear Daniel Bryan to wrestle, which apparently he has been cleared by his own doctor for months. Mm-hmm. Let him wrestle.
Oh, I agree with that totally. I actually think that after Cena, he's probably the next likely out of your list of probables.
Yeah.
Or possibles. What? Yeah. Possibles. I think Daniel Bryan's next up. I think he's next up. But what's the problem with Daniel Bryan right there? The problem with Daniel Bryan is that
he has to win it, first of all.
That's a huge return.
Yeah. And he has to win it.
He can't come in and job. He has to win it. That's the only problem with Daniel Bryan.
No, I understand that. But if...
Legally speaking, I think it's probably a horrible idea on their part because it's like, you know, it's like we're keeping him out because he's concussed. We have all these lawsuits. Oh, we lost a guy. We lost a guy to injury. Let's bring another guy back up that we've been protecting from injury. It's probably a bad idea on their part.
Well, you know, that being said, if they want to make a splash, if they want to put the title on a guy who has credibility.
Oh, yeah. That would suck all the air out of Reigns, though. That would just suck because there's nothing you couldn't put the title on him for the next year.
Yeah, pretty much.
You couldn't do that unless he went heel. Have
Which
Reigns
is what they
heel.
Need to do. Now, that's the only way Daniel Bryan could lose is if Reigns goes heel.
Oh, for sure.
And Reigns beats him.
He'd be a huge heel. People want to boo Reigns. That's the thing. They want to boo him. Yeah. And when they want to boo him, eventually they'll want to cheer him.
Exactly. If he does his job well.
If he does the job well, which probably won't. Let's see here. Yeah, you've asked the question, will Sting return? You don't think Sting's going to come back, do you?
I don't know.
He's like 50,000 years old, man.
If he's going to, the best way to do it is have him be part of the Wyatt Undertaker thing. Because then he's somewhat protected.
They should show some like hidden footage of him shooting Rollins in the knee from the rafters.
From the rafters.
He throws his baseball bat at supersonic speed so no one sees it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, now it's out of the way. It's time for Raw Cap.
One thing we didn't touch on the Rollins thing is about the necessity of house shows. I mean, I understand that Rollins got hurt at a show in Dublin, was it? Somewhere in Ireland. Yeah. So I understand the need to do tours overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. House shows, it just seems like you're putting your talent at greater risk of injury.
I agree. However, I think that that's way... I have no idea. But I think that's far too much a lucrative endeavor for their bottom line to stop doing them.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of curious about, is how profitable they were, not only for WWE, but also for the talent involved.
Because honestly, like, the production value is so, so low on those.
Yeah.
Like, there's barely... They have, like, basically, like, sort of a banner up, or they have, like, a portable, like... Like a portable LED display for
the
entrance.
Yeah, they have a mini Titantron, and
so they have like nothing going on, and it's like they're not paying for travel expenses. So, I know, you know. So it's like, you know, the wrestlers go out there, they're already under contract or whatever for X number of dates.
Yeah.
So that's covered, and then they get all the gate, you know, or whatever. However they split it with whatever.
Yeah.
I would think that added up over the year, that's probably a pretty big source of income. Is it necessary for it makes me wonder. It does make me wonder if they've done studies on, or if it's possible to do studies on, the impact it has on brand awareness. Because I always felt that was kind of another thing, was, you know, you have the TV show every week, but if you can get that exposure to a live audience more times than you would be than is possible on live TV, you know, via house shows.
You know, I would think that spreading brand awareness over TV would outpace house shows by a mile, because mm-hmm. house shows aren't for the casual fan. House shows are for people who actually really like wrestling, and maybe, and, you know, that's always been my attitude about it.
I would think I would also think that it's something that's probably so ingrained in the business model.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Probably terrified to, like, let it go, you know? But yeah. It wouldn't surprise, because you're right. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're working their guys so freaking hard. And these days, you know, like you see in NXT and Breaking Ground, that cool little documentary they got on the network, they work their asses off so fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
And they do crazy shit in the ring. And it's not crazy shit like jumping from the top of a ladder. But I'd argue that jumping from the top of a ladder once, three times in a year is nowhere near as damaging as doing what Rollins does in the ring every single, like, 300 days a year.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd agree with that.
Because he's landing on his knees every single night. I mean, you think about, like, Hogan talks about how his spine was fucked up from all those leg drops.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a leg drop,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, yeah, I don't know. It's just, there's so much wear and tear. Wrestling's it's a tough fucking business, man.
Yeah, it really is.
It's just a tough fucking, like, it's, yeah, I don't know what to do with it. But I'll keep on supporting him. Larson, let's talk about the Usos.
Okay, do we have to? Raw Cap.
The Usos came back. I always forget.
And Raw Cap.
God, they're still so bad.
They're not bad, they're just boring.
Yeah, they're boring. To me, that's bad. There's nothing worse than boring.
I'll agree with that.
One's kind of fat. They have the dumb dance they do. I'm just like offending millions of... What are they?
They're Samoan.
Yeah, they're battle dance. Not intimidating. Sorry, it's not intimidating.
That's actually the one part of their packaging that I like. I like the dance.
Really?
Yeah, I like the dance.
I'll say this. I actually don't mind. I've never minded that they kind of, their design scheme makes them look like a little cool cartoon guys, like action figures.
Mm-hmm.
I dig the face paint. I dig like their color schemes, their various design elements. I kind of actually like that stuff. If they had, and the thing is, here's the thing about them, is that the sad thing is, I think WWE probably correctly and rightly business wise views them as the tag team version of Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're always super over with like kids. They're over mm-hmm. with that Cena crowd for mm-hmm. a good reason,
mm-hmm.
Which is why I don't like them. I think that they're probably charismatic enough to be great heels.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you watch Total Divas, I believe it's Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
The one that's married to Naomi. He's actually really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Not surprising. So, I don't know. I mean, I talk shit about them, but at the same time, it's mainly has to do with, I've never been a fan of the smile. I just don't get the smiling baby face, the smiling happy baby face. I just don't.
Well, I think we prefer interesting characters.
Yeah.
It helps when they're actually really good in the ring, and they're decent in the ring. They're not bad.
Yeah. I lose so much interest. If I'm not interested in them as a character, like it doesn't like. Well, I know that's not true. You have to be over the top good in the ring for me to be interested in you for just purely that. Like Neville. I don't know anything about Neville's character. He doesn't really have a character.
No, he doesn't have a character.
He just does his thing. I'll watch his fucking matches, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Matches are fun as hell. Callisto.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about him. But man, that little guy can move.
But also, WWE hasn't really invested a lot in developing either of those guys.
That's
as characters.
True. Yeah, very true. Let's see here. That's our Raw cap.
Yeah.
Time for the gorilla position. This is where we talk about
backstage type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This week marks the anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob.
That's right.
That's right. 1997, so 18 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it changed everything.
And you want to discuss its importance.
Sure.
Arguably, it launched the Attitude Era, right?
I wouldn't even say arguably. I mean, yeah. As a result of that incident, the Mr. McMahon character was created.
As JBL said to Eric Bischoff during his great interview with him, he said, you know, we traded Bret Hart for evil Mr. McMahon, and he said, I think the WWE won that trade,
mm-hmm.
and I would completely agree with that.
I would 100%, and who would ever thought that would be the case?
That was, talk about getting the ball and running with it.
Yep.
That's crazy that somebody had that. It makes me wonder. It does make me wonder who sort of sparked that idea. Because it couldn't have just been, hey, you know what? I'm just going to keep on being an asshole. Hey, you know what? They hate you right now. The kayfabe is kind of dropping on your role with the company in terms of mm-hmm. being the owner. Because, you know, it had been sort of stated here and there. But for the purposes of TV and stuff.
Vince was just an announcer.
He was just an announcer. But at that point, you know, I mean, certain things that happened. Like, I was watching a Raw from, like, 95, and, like, Diesel comes out after he lost the belt to Bret, and he was giving McMahon shit. And it was that they were starting to sort of bring kayfabe down a little bit
mm-hmm.
to try to be a little edgier. You can tell, like, little hints of what they wanted to do were cropping up. But it does. It makes me wonder, like, there's got to be a book on that somewhere someday that's written about how that all got started. Because nobody's ever said, hey, you know, let's run, because he gave that interview with JR afterwards
mm-hmm.
and said, you know, Bret screwed Bret.
Yeah.
But even that wasn't even to the level that, like, I'm not even sure. I'll have to look at some Raws or something and see, like, what happened after that, and, like, how it developed. But yeah, then at that point, they were off to the races. Like, that was sort of, Bret was the unintended sacrificial lamb for the Attitude Era.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I was a WCW guy up until this point, because I only really got back into wrestling maybe late 96,
right,
early 97,
because of the NW.
Yeah, and you know, I really wasn't watching WWF stuff a lot back then. And then this happened, I was like, well, shit.
Yeah,
I gotta see what happens next.
I wasn't even watching. I started watching a month after you. I'm sorry. A month after the Montreal Screwjob. I remember it was like December, mm-hmm. and it was when I remember going to Nate's house and watching Starrcade with everybody.
Yeah.
And our Jeff's, I forget. I in my head, it was Nate's. And then I was like, oh, this is cool. I can watch this. So that was just all crazy, crazy stuff. And it's funny. The funny thing, too, is that not only did it sort of kickstart the Attitude Era, but it really sort of was a giant sort of, it illustrated the problem with WCW
mm-hmm.
in that they waited like what, a month or so, 90 days, something,
I know,
like that,
to bring
Bret back. They should have had him on TV. I don't know what his contract thing was, but I know he could have come back sooner than that, or he could have shown up on WCW a lot sooner than that. And that the fact that they didn't is absolutely
really
bizarre.
as soon as that incident happened, Bischoff should have been on the phone with Brett and says, you know, wherever Nitro is on that Monday, be there.
I know. And it's weird though, because he had like Alundra Blaze show up with the championship and dump it in the trash can. And he said in the interview, it was kind of interesting because he gave some back sort of backstage stuff that I hadn't heard before. But he was like, there was no way we were ever going to do that with the WWF belt because we're in the middle of a lawsuit with WWF over copyright stuff with the Razor and Diesel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so we never were going to do that. And he said he wasn't even clear exactly on why they didn't bring Brett out right after that. JBL said, was it a mistake not to do that? He was like, I don't know, in retrospect, probably. And he said, I don't even remember really what the plan was. But
that there is a problem.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But it's so bizarre after so much properly executed stuff.
I know.
You know, well,
by that point, there was too many cooks in the kitchen, probably.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you're talking late 97. Yeah, I don't know. There was still, you know, they were still cooking up Goldberg and...
But even then, the politics backstage probably... I guarantee you at that point in WCW, there was no guy that they would go to and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is the vision we have going forward.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah.
There was none of that. Everybody was jockeying for their own position.
I know. And that was the downfall of WCW.
Mm-hmm.
There was no Vince McMahon there.
Nope. No one to give the final say, it seemed like.
All right, Larson, you ready for Kayfabe Corner?
Okay. Tell people what Kayfabe Corner is.
It's the ultimate wrestling challenge.
Trivia challenge.
Trivia challenge. It's 12, and this week it's 12 names again.
Okay.
12 real, 6 real, 6 fake. 24. Plus 2 trivia questions, all ready to go. I've got a theme.
Good.
I'll be interested. Now, some of these are pretty obvious. Well, I'm not going to say obvious.
Okay.
It'll test not only your wrestling trivia, but a different type of trivia as well.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah, what's your theme?
Well, I'm not going to tell you my theme until we're done.
Oh, so that we're going to do it that way again.
I want to see if you can figure it out.
Oh, we're going to start doing that again? Okay.
Because I'm legit curious to see if any of these names you'll recognize.
Okay.
All right. Number one.
Number one.
War Pig.
Fake.
Real. Number two.
Okay. Yes.
Derek Wood.
Derek Wood?
Yeah.
Fake.
Real. It's a very boring name.
It is. That's why I thought it was fake.
The Convict.
Fake.
Real.
Damn it.
Three for a loop. I started off with three reels.
I know.
Leo Snyder.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it.
Wasn't going to start off with four reels. You're crazy.
I just thought that name sounded familiar.
Okay. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Hacksaw Nomellini.
Real.
Fake.
Damn it. What is that?
You can't see my face right now.
No, I can't. That's the problem.
One, two, three, four, five.
I don't know what the theme is either, so I'm like, I'm racking my brain trying to figure out the theme, and I got to worry about whether these names are real or not. What the fuck? There's too much going on. For a Monday, especially. Too much going on.
Okay. Marcus Corvon.
I'm going to say fake. Fake.
Real.
Damn it.
You're not doing good so far.
No, I'm not. 0 for 6 so far. This might be my worst ever.
Tarzan White.
Real.
Very good.
On the board.
Does that name reckon? Do you know that name at all?
No.
Okay. Bronco Ladd.
Fake.
Very good. A.C. Watts.
Fake.
Very good. It sounds real, though.
It does.
Julius Taylor.
Real.
Fake. Lyle Alzado.
Oh, that's... that guy was a football player. So I don't know if he ever wrestled, though. Fake.
Real?
He wrestled?
You just told yourself the theme. These are all NFL players that turned to wrestling.
See, I just didn't know if he wrestled or not.
And finally, Layfield Martin.
Fake.
Very good.
That is 5.
Okay. You got 5, really?
Yeah.
You came alive at the end there.
Yeah, I did a little bit.
All right. As I said, these are all names or variations on
names. Oh, sorry.
Names.
No, sorry. I mismarked Lyle there. So I got 4.
These are all variations on names of NFL players who have transitioned to NFL in some manner or form.
You mean NFL players who went to wrestling or vice versa?
These are all
former wrestlers who became former NFL players who became wrestlers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I can't think of a situation where it went the other way.
Okay.
I mean Brock obviously, but yeah. he wasn't in here. All right, trivia questions.
Yeah.
Lyle Alzado, the football player.
Yeah.
There was a wrestling sitcom which featured him. What was it called?
Wow.
It only ran for like less than a year, like 88, 89.
Man, that's tough. Had you heard this before?
I had not. Just discovered it while researching this.
I'll say it's going to be something that's fairly mainstream, so people will watch it, I would think.
But I'll give you an the title is wrestling related.
Well, I would think so.
If you think of a sitcom name, this is going to be it. It's like, okay, yeah.
Power Slam.
No, Learning the Ropes.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Now, question number 2. Again, you're going to have to guess. But do you know what Lyle Alzado looks like?
Yeah.
Okay. Then you can get in the ballpark.
Okay.
So he was the main actor on the show. However, he did have a stunt double who was an actual wrestler who you are very aware of. This was a sitcom in 1988 or 1989.
I would say Bruiser Brody.
No, but that's a good guess. I think Bruiser Brody's way too unstable to be. Work a sitcom. Dr. Death Steve Williams.
Oh, yeah.
He said it was the hardest, the most difficult, because he got injured, like, legit, doing the scenes. And he said it was the hardest $2,000 he ever earned in wrestling.
Wow.
I was doing that for a sitcom.
I only got 4. That was awful. That was terrible.
We're now tied for the worst.
Yeah. We were due to come back to Earth after doing so well over the last few weeks. So.
Yep. These blind ones are probably way more difficult, I think.
Yeah. They might be.
Can't see our self-satisfaction on the face.
I know.
Can't see. So that's our episode of Going In Raw.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in. Check it out on iTunes if you want. We'll be back next week with another episode.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens on Raw tonight.
I know.
To flesh out this tournament, see how right we are with our predictions.
It's going to be a good couple of weeks.
Yeah, it could be.
At least interesting. I'm going to try to watch it live and do another one of my vlogs.
Sure.
Yeah, so check that out on my channel.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.